Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Faith is a fruit of, is one of the fruits of. See, if I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have him living in me. That's going to set me apart from everybody else. Not that I'm anything. But you see where being born of God comes into this? I literally have to have a birth where his life is begotten, is born on the inside of me, and I have a different life than I was born into this world with. But one of the qualities that arises from that is this quality called faith. And so God, first of all, he imparts to me a conviction. That conviction can look forward, it can look out right now and say, I see what the world is saying, I see what it stands for, but I know the truth. Because I know what God says. And I don't care what the world says, what it looks like, what it feels like, what God says is true, that's what I'm going to go by. That's it. End of story. You know, you talk about hope is the aspect of faith that looks to the future. You remember Hebrews 6, let's look it up sometime, and you see what we have to base that hope upon. It's not something we work up. Some people try to work up a feeling of faith, and they're looking for faith in their faith. My faith is not focused on how I feel or how things look or anything that has to do with this world. It's in the promise of God. And he gives us two things there that we can rest our hope upon. What are they? One of them is a promise of a purpose that he describes as unchanging. In other words, here is what I have planned to do from the foundation of the world. Nobody is going to change my mind. There is no circumstance that's going to arise that caused me to say, that didn't work out, let's try plan B. There is no plan B. God has a purpose that he has declared. So how do we know? You know, that in itself should be strong enough. But he says, you know, like people down here, they swear by somebody's greater. I swear by God, that thus and so, and it's supposed to lend some credence to what they're saying. Well, there wasn't anybody greater for God to swear, but so he swore by himself. So that's the other thing. We have a God whose character is such that he cannot tell a lie. So number one, you've got a promise of an unchanging purpose given by a God who is incapable of lying. That's a pretty strong basis for standing, isn't it? Folks, we're going to need what I'm talking about this morning, what I believe the Lord wants us to focus on this morning in order to stand in this hour. Because like I say, like Jesus said, the world hates us. It may not always seem like it right now. And we live, as we said so many times, in a very unusual place and time in history. We have a freedom that is amazing, but do you think it's always going to be this way? No, it isn't. And we're going to need something more than human strength. We're going to face all kinds of situations. What is it that will enable us to stand and overcome in those circumstances? And what, basically, you've got a system of thinking and living that governs this world, and Satan has been allowed to plant the lie that he describes as praise God, what is it in 2 Thessalonians 2? Strong delusion is one of the translations. There is a strong delusion that is taking hold of people's minds. You remember how Jesus described and how the Word describes what happened in Noah's day? What happened? They reached a point when God looked down, and with the exception of Noah, every imagination of every heart was what? Only evil continually. They had reached a point where there was zero capacity for God. They were simply living for whatever their flesh wanted. There was violence. There was all kinds of stuff, all kinds of wickedness in the world. And the Lord, it was time to judge. That's what's going to happen at the end of this age. We're living in a temporary world that is absolutely. Do you believe the Word of God? that this world that we see, we're part of it, every bit of it is going to be destroyed. Every person who has never surrendered to Jesus Christ, as we described this morning, is going to die and face judgment. That's the world we're living in, folks. You know, you go to Hebrews 11 again, and you don't get very far in before you run into Noah, don't you? And how does it describe Noah's conviction? I mean, here he was standing against a world, no doubt ridiculed for all that he was doing, but the one thing he did was walk with God and believe what God said. But the belief was not just a mental thing. It caused him to obey what God told him to do. This is what you and I are going to have that kind of a relationship with God where he can communicate when he needs to. And every one of us has, as I say, a particular place in this particular world, this particular time. Your destiny in an earthly sense may not be exactly mine. In fact, it likely won't be. I'll let it go. But I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things could happen. Somebody could walk in here and shoot us all. Have we lost? Not at all. But here is Noah. Now listen to what it says. By his faith, this is in the middle of verse 7. By his faith. Now what was the conviction of his faith? Or what was the consequence of this? By his faith, he condemned the world. Now it doesn't mean having a hateful spirit. But folks, God is going to have to give us such a conviction that we not only see what the world stands for and what it's about, but we're willing to say, that's not me, I don't agree with that. I'm serving him. Come hell or high water, I'm serving him. What is it that overcomes the world, even our faith? God is wanting to implant. Talk about having all the resources that we need. That's the biggie. Because if that's what overcomes the world, then man, I need that. I need him to grow it, to implant it in me in the first place, and to grow it. You think there's a reason why we go through things right now? Do you think God may be preparing us to stand? But look at what it involved. One thing it involves in every instance is a choice. God is going to allow a circumstance to arise where, in one sense, I have a choice. Am I going to believe God, a God I can't see, a God that I can't touch, I can't see something immaterial in this world to back up this belief, but there's a conviction that he's planted here, and am I going to believe that, or am I going to believe what my flesh wants, what the world tells me is so, what I see, what I can touch? Where is my faith going to be? I'll tell you, this is what's going to separate people who are God's people, headed for an eternity with him in the kingdom that he is building, the purpose he is fulfilling, and those who are outside and headed for destruction. It's that simple. Okay? So Noah made that choice. Abraham, of course, we've talked about so many times. I'm going to have to hustle through here, but of course I don't have to be bound by the clock, but I don't want to abuse my liberty either. Abraham had a whole lot of choices to make in his life, didn't he? He heard the voice in some fashion. God made himself known to Abraham, and it wasn't just that he believed God and said, that's great, I'm going to have nations come from me. I'm just going to go on about my business. No. The vision and the word that God gave him was such that he had to obey. He had to put that into action. Folks, God is going to give us things in our lives where we're going to have to be willing to take action based upon the conviction that God has put in our hearts. We're going to have to do some standing. In his case, it was leaving family. It was a separation. It was leaving everything that he had known. Going by faith in an unseen God to a place he'd never been before. And all the things that he went through throughout his life, the faith that, that God was building in him and how he was willing to stand even when it became impossible for him to have a child, or his wife certainly to have one, 90-year-old lady. No possible human way that such a thing could be fulfilled. And he stood and he said, no, God said. And then when God said, sacrifice him, the son, the very son that I promised you, sacrifice him. And his obedience went all the way to the point where he had the knife raised. Now the writer of the Hebrews says that, you know, explains this, that, well, he believed that even if he killed him, God could raise him from the dead. Well, that's certainly true. You know, God will put us in situations where we don't know how it's coming out. And we're going to have to make the right choice anyway. So many examples are given in here, but one of them is the three Hebrew children. How many times have we pointed this one out? God arranged the circumstance. Do you think this was an accident? In the first place, they had been carried off as captives from Israel into a heathen land to serve a heathen emperor. And the heathen emperor, being the heathen that he was, had all kinds of idols and gods. And so he built this great image and everybody was supposed to bow down. God allowed him to do all of that, like God is allowing the devil to do what he's doing. And there he had some children of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. You know who the real descendants of Abraham are? They're not the children of the flesh. They're the children of Abraham's faith. They're the descendants of his faith. And these three men were descendants of his faith. And so there they were. Here are your two options. Door number one, bow to this idol. Swear allegiance to it. Door number two, burn. How would you like to be faced with that choice? You think some of us might actually reach a point like that? We're going to need the Lord, aren't we? We're going to need something we don't have in ourselves. You think he's going to be enough? Praise God. Okay? And when they made that choice to say, I will not bow, we will not bow, they didn't know the outcome that we know about. So we can read that and say, yeah, I know how that came out. That's great. They didn't know that. And we're going to be in situations where we do not know how it's going to turn out. And God's going to say, you have a choice. The devil is going to be allowed to do whatever he's going to be allowed to do. And we're going to have to make a choice and say, I am not going to go your way. I don't care. I'm going to serve my God. And that was the choice they made. And God gave them, in that instance, God's purpose, Satan's purpose, was to exalt this heathen emperor, to destroy all faith in anybody else, to suppress it, bring them all under his control. God had a greater purpose to give such a powerful demonstration of who he was that the word and the message of that went to the ends of that great empire. We got a God who can do what he wants.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.